is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with John of the band Great Good Fine Okay over Zoom video. John was born and raised in upstate New York and talks about how he got into music, started to play guitar at 9 years old, and began writing songs at 9 years old as well. He's always been in love with creating and songwriting. He started to play in a band in high school. He ended up going to college at Boston University and then moved down to New York after finishing college, where he had his own like solo project band. He was a part of that band for like 5 years. And during that time, he met Luke and they wanted to kind of collaborate together. They wrote one song and started sending it around to people, and everyone was like obsessed with it. They knew it was a great song. They knew it was going to be a big song. Everyone really believed in it. And that was the song, You're the One for Me. And that song ended up going number one on Hype Machine twice in 1 month, the same song, which is unheard of. And at that point, they were getting offers for record labels. They had a manager and a lawyer and a booking agent all right away. He said they went 0 to 60. John walks us through all of the Great Good Fine Okay releases, all the EPs, the album, being on multiple record labels, getting dropped, going independent, re-signing, and now they're on Network for their brand new EP. So we talk about the new EP as well. He talks about working with the Chainsmokers on the single Let You Go, all the tours they've done, how he recently moved to Los Angeles. He's even a painter. He showed us a couple of huge paintings that he's been working on. Said not a lot of people know that he's a painter as well. So once again, we also get into the new EP, which is called Exist, and we talk about the tour they have coming up as well. You can watch our interview with John on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It would be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Good, Great, Fine, Okay. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, all good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Just you today or is Luke joining us?
It's just going to be me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm Adam. Super nice to meet you. And this is about you and your journey in music. And we'll talk about the EP you all just released.
All right. Sweet.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So via the internet, I did read that you're from upstate New York originally.
I am. Yeah, I'm from a small town called Niskayuna outside of Albany, New York.
Okay.
Which is about 3 hours upstate from the city. And cool. And Luke is actually from Saratoga, which was about 30 minutes north of where I'm from. But we didn't know each other until we met in Brooklyn.
Okay. So yeah. Grew up upstate. What was it like growing up where you were at? Are you kind of like, I don't know much about upstate New York to be 100%.
Yeah, it's great. It's like suburbs, but also like really beautiful, like close to mountains, close to Vermont. You know, the quintessential, definitely hard winters.
Okay. Yeah, I bet.
Lots of snow, but super nice in the summer. I was actually just back there, not to skip ahead, but I just moved to LA recently.
And okay.
I've been here almost a year and I just went back to New York for the first time last week. And it was like, I experienced all the weather.
Sure.
It was freezing. It was snowing. It was freezing rain.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm from San Diego originally, and like 3 years ago or so now, my family and I moved to Nashville, and I know it's nothing like upstate New York, but like it snows here, and like we get the weather and the change, and it's cold. Yeah. And it's totally different from Southern California. 100%.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, as far as like music goes, did you grow up in like a musical household, creative household? Like, how did you get into playing music?
Yeah, no one in my family were musicians. I kind of, when I was like 9 years old, started playing guitar and writing songs, kind of just like came naturally to me, and it was always what I was drawn towards. So I just started at a really young age, and like most people, taking guitar lessons and playing a little bit of piano, but soon just became like obsessed with writing songs. And so I've just been kind of doing it my whole life.
Wow, 9, that's so young. I have a my son's about to turn 8, and I can't imagine him sitting down with a guitar writing songs in a year. Like, that's crazy to
Hey, you never
think.
know. He can surprise
He
you.
could be. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that's amazing. So at that you how did you get that first guitar? Was it something that you asked your
My
family for?
dad
Like,
played guitar a little bit. He like knew some
okay.
chords. He like showed me like four chords. And as you can pretty much write any song over four chords. So I was kind of off
100%.
races, and then started taking guitar lessons to learn more than four chords. But
Nice.
yeah, that's kind of, yeah, my parents were both really into music. There was always music playing in the house, and my mom was a huge fan of the Beatles and lots of really great songwriters that I was exposed to really young. So yeah, they weren't musicians, but they definitely were. I would consider it a musical family.
But what about, I mean, it looks like you have a painting behind you. You're a painter as well.
So this is actually a fully furnished sublet I'm in.
Oh,
However,
okay.
I
I was gonna
did
say,
paint that painting.
no way, that's amazing.
I also paint. So yeah, I know.
Anyone in your family like a fine artist like that?
My mom is, yeah. She
Oh,
my
cool.
my mom went to college for art history, and then she was also an artist, and so she kind of I definitely inherited that bug from her. But yeah, I don't know. Here, I'll bring it a little closer. You can see.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Is that whole record collection to the right of yours as well? Oh,
Right.
damn, that's way bigger than I thought.
Yeah, it's humongous.
Oh,
So it's like this thing, and it's not done yet. And then I'll show you another one. Yeah, this is something that not a lot of people know about me is that I paint. But I'm working on this one.
man. And you're like really, really good. I can't believe people don't know that about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I just do it for fun. I haven't like tried selling any of them or anything like that, but
You should. I would buy that. That's awesome.
thanks, man. Maybe I will. In fact, let's talk after if you
That's dope.
want.
No, that's cool, man. So yeah, was that always something you're interested in as well as art, or was just you're surrounded by
Yeah,
with your mom?
in the last like 5 years, I got more into painting, and like I don't know, just the way my brain works, when I like get started on a painting, I like become obsessed, and I'll spend like hours on it every day for weeks. But
Awesome.
I don't know, I just like I love creating, so I'm constantly writing songs and doing music, but it feels good to have other outlets that I can,
Yeah.
well, because I can't just like write songs constantly. And I'm happiest when I'm creating, so I think the painting is a good outlet for that.
That's awesome. Like at 9, were you listening to the Beatles and stuff your parents were listening to? I mean, like what were you trying to learn on guitar? I mean, obviously you're writing your own songs, but was that the style you were kind of listening to as a kid?
Yeah, totally. I was listening to like the Beatles and Elton John and other great songwriters that my mom was into, but also I had a brother that have a brother that's 5 years older. And so he was really into the Grateful Dead, and Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff like that. So I was also like getting that
Okay, nice.
definitely
Did you,
influenced.
yeah. Did you play like in bands or anything through, I mean, 9? So you were probably in elementary at that point, but like in
Yeah,
middle school, high school, or.
I didn't collaborate with anyone until high school.
Okay.
I met this guy and we sort of formed a little band together, and we would play and write songs together. And that was really sweet. And then in college, I had a band, put a band together. It was kind of like a jam band, where I was like playing bad guitar solos and writing songs with like four verses and three different guitars. It was bad, but
But totally different from obviously what you're doing now, which is
totally
definitely more
different,
like
totally
production
different.
based.
And totally different from what I was doing before it as well, because I was always like singer-songwriter vibe, and then that was a totally different world. And then when I graduated from college, I moved right to New York City and pretty much jumped headfirst into trying to be a musician, playing as much as I could on my own, and was having some success. Got signed to an indie label and was touring and put together a band that was just like the John Sandler band. And
Wow.
as the story goes, in 2013, I wrote a song with my buddy Luke, and it just blew up and started Great Good Fine Okay, and that's pretty much all I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Oh my gosh. So was your like solo band, what did you sound like? Like what was that project?
Yeah, it was a little different. It was like I would compare it to like Cold War Kids,
Okay.
like that
So
kind of
more like
sound.
instrument heavy, like
Yeah,
guitars and drums and stuff.
definitely more
Okay.
like a rock band.
Okay.
And I would play guitar, whereas like in Great Good Fine Okay, I just sing and dance, and we have a guitar player who's way better than I am. but yeah, it's a interesting evolution. But yeah, for
Yeah.
many years, I was like focused totally on that band, with these three other guys, totally different guys than I play with now.
Wow. Were you in school for music? Like, did you go to college for music?
No, actually, I went to college for film and television.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was kind of like arrogant graduating high school, feeling like I already know how to make music. I might as well learn something else.
Well, sure. I'm not, and it's not even arrogant though. It's like one of those things where, you don't necessarily need a degree in music to write a great
Right. Although
song.
I do wonder how my life would be different if I went to like Berklee College of Music or something like that, you
Sure.
know, was more proficient at theory and stuff like that. But yeah, I went to school for film, and when I graduated and moved to the city and was playing, I was also working in that a little bit, like PAing for reality television shows and
Oh, cool.
like that kind of stuff for a few years, and soon realized it wasn't for me, and you know.
Where did you go to college? Were you in New York?
I went to Boston University.
Oh, Boston University. All right,
Yeah.
right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you decided to move back to New York and move to the city and were working. And eventually, how'd you meet Luke then?
So yeah, so the guy who was my like musical partner in my solo stuff was this guy Dominic, and he lived around the corner from me in Brooklyn, and Luke was his roommate. So
Oh, wow.
I met Luke, and we just like became friends, and we were friends for a couple years. And then he and I ran into each other on the street randomly one night and started chatting and kind of saying, like all musicians do, like we should make something together one day. And that night he sent me a track that he had made. And that same night I listened to it. It was super inspiring, and I wrote lyrics and melody to it and sent it back to him. And we were like, oh shit, this is actually pretty good. And we sent it to a few other people who were like, that's really good. And so we finished it and put it out, and it like went crazy. And
Is that You're the One for Me? Okay. Oh,
That was
wow. And then it was like cute. Like, I mean, 2013, like having a song on Hype Machine was like it, right? I mean, and you had it number one on Hype Machine
twice.
twice,
And like
which
I had
is
never even
unheard
seen
of.
that twice for the same song.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, that must have just brought so much attention to you all. Was it like, we have this one song, like now, I guess we got to keep doing this because.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely it was really cool. It was like 0 to 60, and it wasn't lost on us how insane that was, because we had both been pursuing music for so long before that.
Yeah, it wasn't like an accident,
Yeah,
obviously.
but like, yeah, I mean, before we even released the song, we had a manager, a booking agent, a lawyer,
Oh,
and
shit.
record deal offers, publishing deal offer. Yeah, it was insane.
Just based off it before you even put before Hype Machine even had the song.
Yeah, like this whole team was basically banking on the fact that we had this song that they all believed in, and that and this is the way it was back in 2013. It's a little different now, but your team, like, you know, a lot of people put a lot of stake in that. Like, wow, they've got this song and they've got this team behind them, like they're gonna succeed. And that's kind of like what we were doing, you know. We like put together this whole team of great people, and we had this song, and we made a music video, and all the blogs were writing about us. So yeah, it was like 0 to 60.
Oh my gosh. So once that starts happening, and it does 0 to 60, did you have other songs that you were working on? Like just noting like, oh, we did this one and it's awesome. We love it. And obviously other people do. Let's continue. Is that kind of how Great Good Fine Okay like became? Or was it like we have this song, all this attention, now we really have to pursue
No, we
it.
had already started writing more songs
Okay.
before we knew it was all going to happen because we were so into that first song we wrote. We just started writing more. And so, like the song Not Going Home and the song By My Side and the song Say It All, the four songs that were on our first
The
EP.
first EP,
Yeah,
okay.
those were all like we were working on those. It wasn't
Oh,
like,
okay.
yeah,
It
those.
wasn't like we have this one and everyone's coming in being like, this is a hit, like, and you're like,
Well, and it
oh,
wasn't
okay.
not quite. It wasn't that, but it was like, oh shit, we have a band now. And
Okay.
so we're going to write more songs.
Yeah. And then how quickly
You
do you have to be like tell Luke's roommate, like, hey man, I'm gonna have to stop doing the other
Yeah, that's a
project.
good question. And that was a little weird because those guys had been so loyal to me and they were my best friends. They still are actually. Like they understood, but there was a little bit of an element of like, well, fuck, I feel a little bad about this, spending a
Right.
lot of time. But as a musician, you kind of have to like go where the tide brings you and where the success seems to be. And it was just so obvious that Greg could find okay, it was doing something that was resonating more than what I was doing. Like in a month, like I had more success than I had accumulated in like 5 years of doing that. It
Yeah.
was like, they really understood and they're great guys. And actually they're all like crushing right now. So
Oh,
it's
wow, that's
one of those
awesome.
like everything happens for a reason type of thing.
That's amazing. And
Yeah.
so you put that out, and were you said you had a booking, everything, and were you touring right
Yeah.
after that, like
So we
after
played
that
our
song?
first shows ever at South by Southwest.
Another like unheard of thing.
Seven shows at South by. We played like some like a couple like secret shows in New York before that,
Did
and
you
we
play under
played.
the name, the your name or no?
Yeah, but we like didn't
Okay.
tell anyone. It was just like
Got
industry
it.
friends who came,
I
and
love
then.
when bands just do that and they play under just some like random thing that they come up with like
Yeah, that was another thing.
that
That was another like
day.
big thing in 2013. I don't know if bands do that anymore. Play these like, it's like it almost feels funny to take yourself so seriously like that,
Right. Like we got to
But
keep this such a secret that we're not going to tell anyone our real name when we
if
go
this gets out, like people are gonna go crazy, like
out.
so delusional. But yeah, and we like played a couple shows like on the way down to South by, which actually that was kind of humbling because. I remember like it was yesterday. We played a show in Atlanta, and like there was no one there. We played for an empty room, and here we were like the buzziest band driving down to South by to play seven shows. But it was like we didn't really have fans yet.
Right. I mean, you didn't really, you had this, you had this buzz and this thing happening, but it was like, you hadn't had a chance to really, there wasn't a lot of time yet. Right. I
Exactly.
mean, it just kind of started.
Totally. All the fans we had were just like online.
Right. But wow, that's crazy. And then with the next release you had as well, I mean, that one was huge again. I mean,
Not
to,
going home, yeah.
yeah, was that I mean, even having that first EP out and you're like, okay, I got all this buzz, like were you guys even thinking about is the next one gonna is this get the momentum gonna continue, or were you was that not even a thought?
I mean, that was a long time ago, so I'm trying to put myself back into what I was thinking then.
Yeah.
But I think we were just like having fun making music and we were so confident. Like we felt like at least for me, and I don't want to speak for Luke, but at least for me, I kind of felt like what we have here is really special with the two of us. Like our parts are greater than the sum and anything we do is going to be good right now. And so I kind of felt confident about anything we were doing. And then it just so happened that like our next song we did, Not Going Home, arguably had more success than You're the One for Me. And yeah, I still wonder whether we should have put that one out first, maybe. I don't know, but yeah, it was really cool to have a string of songs that did really well on Hype Machine. And also back then, like Spotify was this different thing, and
Yeah.
they gave us a lot of love too. Like, and it was early years there, and we had some like human beings there who were champions, and that helped us a lot to get real fans.
Yeah, because then I mean 2013, 14, yeah, Spotify wasn't what it is now with its
Yeah,
like
it was
the
actually a
thing, and
surprise to us. I wasn't on Spotify, and I remember being like, "We're doing well on what? On like what
yeah,
Spotify? We're streaming well on Spotify. That's cool. Like, what's up with that? Like, let's go into the office and meet people." And that's when we could actually like do that.
right. What's
Yeah.
crazy though, because I mean that the second EP was top 10 on like iTunes, which that was like this the bar then.
Yeah,
like,
well, at you that, know. It was cool because at that time, that second EP was licensed by, it was funny. We had like a bunch of different labels at that time. We were on Epic UK, which is a major label.
Yeah.
And that was for the UK. And then in the US, it was licensed by Neon Gold. I don't know if you know them, but super cool indie label out of New York.
Yeah, I know the name. I'm trying
and
to think.
Also, like back then, had a website and like a blog that was like highly respected.
I think they had Walk the Moon early on, didn't they? Maybe
a lot of bands from that time who were cool kind of got their start on Neon Gold.
Okay,
I forget exactly like how this even worked, but we were licensed to Ultra Records as well.
Oh, so, wow.
It was like Epic Ultra. We like joked a lot. But yeah, they were able to take this song. I think it was Too Much to Handle. And it did really well on iTunes. Yeah, that was like a big moment for us as well.
That's crazy. That's so cool. And then you ended up doing a song with Chainsmokers too, like in a little bit.
Yeah, so that was in 2015. I mean, that was a super cool thing. They were huge already, not even close to as huge as they are now. But
yeah, because they probably had Selfie out at that point, right?
They had Selfie, yep, and a few others. And so, yeah, they were already like a household name. And the way their system was working is they were finding most of their features and collaborators from Hype Machine.
Is that right? I didn't know
that. Yeah, so they became a fan of ours from You're the One From Me because they like sought number one on Hype Machine. And they reached out and sent this track to see if we wanted to write to it. And so like, I had never really even done anything like that, but like on the, you know, side of the bed, I'm in my shitty apartment in Brooklyn. I like wrote the lyrics and melody on top of this Chainsmoker song. And like a year later, they were like, we want to release it as a single. And it was so sick. Like it, you know, really like kind of blew up. It was one of their more like respected songs at that time. Yeah, it was sick. It was remixed by Tiesto and A-Track. I performed it with them at Firefly and like a couple other festivals. Just like such a cool moment. And they're actually like the greatest guys, like super nice, super kind.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet them like when I used to be on terrestrial radio in San Diego and in San Francisco, and I worked the alternative station, and then there was a top 40 station in our building, and they had Selfie out. And I remember the guy that was on the air at the same time as me, he had them in and interviewed them. And it was like, I didn't even know who they were when they first came in. I was like, oh yeah, I knew that song. And then within like a year, they're the biggest thing ever. It was so crazy, and they're so nice.
It's been super cool getting to watch their trajectory.
It's wild.
Being there at the beginning like that and just like, happy for them because they are like nice guys, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, it's like couldn't happen to nicer guys.
Sure. Wow. Okay. And then tell me from there you put out Three, right? That was the next EP that you guys all released.
Put out Three. So that was interesting because we got dropped from Epic.
Really, even after having two successful things in a row?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like the smartest move.
That is like so the music industry though. Like really like for no rhyme or reason. It was like our person there was leaving. It was like a change of stuff. It was like it was one of those stories where it's like who the hell knows what happened.
Right.
But we didn't want to pick up our next thing. And all of a sudden, after all that kind of having the major label machine behind us, we were independent for the first time. And so the first song we released as independent artist was Take It or Leave It.
Oh, no way.
Which crushed.
Yeah, that song is huge. That's crazy.
It streamed better than any of the songs before.
Oh, my gosh. So that was independent. So that was, you owned everything on that song.
Yeah. Well, not only that, and this is a kind of a long story, but industry people love hearing it because it's like insane. Epic was when they dropped us, they were going to give us a parachute payment of a certain amount of money as like, I guess that's what they do. I don't know. And I had the idea of like, why don't we not take that and like give us our masters back? And I forget if it was our lawyer or our manager, and they were like, they're never going to do that. Like, that's insane. But
Yeah.
we'll ask. And they did.
Wow.
So we own all of our masters from the beginning.
To even from the beginning. Oh my gosh, that's like that is so unheard of, especially with two successful EPs prior to be like, yeah, whatever, we'll just give them back to you.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
So that was really cool. We owned those. And then it was like, as the universe working, we got a huge sink like right after that happened, which paid us as much as that parachute payment would have paid.
Oh man, what was the sink for?
Was for Pellegrino.
Okay.
It was
It was
like
one
just
of
an it was just like an online ad.
crazy. And so obviously working independently, you put out three and it's again another hit.
Yeah, so we put out three. It was like super. All the songs were really well received. At that time, we were touring a lot, and
Was it
all the
hard
songs.
to navigate all that now you're like was the li not having the label support and all of that, was that a lot different
Not
knowing
really,
the
because we
release?
were lucky enough to have a great manager at the time and a great like booking agent and lawyer and everybody. So they really helped us navigate. Honestly, in our experience, a label is good for paying for stuff, which is important, music
Right.
videos and that kind of stuff. And of course, sometimes they can like get you some elevated opportunities, but mostly a label's just a distributor, right? So
Right.
they're going to put the songs out. And nowadays, there's such great label services that pretty much do the same thing.
Right. Yeah. They just give you kind of now more of a name recognition and maybe, a Spotify
Right. So
for a
to answer your
playlist or
question,
something like that,
yeah.
maybe.
So to answer your question, like it didn't really change much. And if anything, it just gave us like more flexibility to do what we wanted to do, which worked for us, especially because like we were touring and, paying for that stuff all ourselves and making our own merch and just creating the, GGFO vibe that we wanted. So
Yeah.
there's not a label really that's going to help you with that.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. And then did you do the fourth one as well independently, or did you guys get back
So
record label
then
at that
the
point?
fourth one, we decided to switch it up and we signed to a label again.
Okay.
We actually signed to Ultra
Oh, okay. So you
because we already
like
had a relationship,
fully because you already had a relationship with them.
fully record deal with Ultra.
Okay.
And we released four on that. And they also, somewhere in there, so this is another fun thing is while we were independent, we released the song Find Yourself,
Okay.
which did better than anything.
Yeah, another
That's
one of
kind
their
of what
huge songs.
attracted the interest of Ultra.
Okay.
And so they pretty much bought that song from us. And then on top of it, gave us a record deal. So we made four.
Wow. Okay. And was it just still a lot of touring to support that EP?
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty much doing like two tours a year, and some festivals and this and that, and building our fan base that way. But yeah.
And kind of after that, I mean, you put that on 2019 and then the pandemic hits.
Yep.
So that changes what everything. And then you out of the pandemic is when you put out the album, right?
Yeah, so right before the pandemic, we actually played some shows in China.
Oh,
And
wow.
we played six shows in China that all did like amazing. It's a long story, but I'll just like leave it at that. And so after that, we were like in the process of planning more international touring and more Asian touring. And then
Yeah.
the pandemic happened and just kind of shut everything down. So during the pandemic, we just continued to write and record and then released five kind of at the tail end of the pandemic, right before we did another tour, a little too close to the end of the pandemic, like 2 years ago. And then
When you said a little too close to the end of the pandemic, was it just harder to tour or people weren't like okay to come
when I
out?
say a little too close, I mean it definitely affected ticket sales. It definitely like there was still like COVID vibe in the air. Like 25% of the people were wearing masks at the show. It was like
Got it.
it was still that kind of vibe.
And you have obviously like dancey songs, so people aren't gonna just be like vibing out. They're gonna want to be close and, you know, having a good time.
And also, just for the full picture, we released 5 again independently.
Oh, no way. Okay. So
yeah,
pandemic causes, like, you know, Ultra's gone again.
Ultra, and now we're independent again. Release the EP Great Good 5. Okay. Also had songs in it that are doing great. Are like two of our most popular songs right now. So Far So Good and Could Be Us are in like our top 5 on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Those are doing well. And so, yeah. And then we, about a year and a half ago, decided to, that's the thing with us. We keep trying to like, change it up.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like in this industry, that's just a good idea. So we signed again with a label
with Network.
And
I love them. We've done a lot of work.
We really love them. They're great, great people. And yeah, just a good company. And so we're signed with them for 10 songs, and we just released the first 5 as an EP and about to do a tour on the West Coast.
Yeah, you have a geographer's opening for you.
Yeah. Geographer in
He's
Seattle.
He's great. When I worked in San Francisco for the radio station, we'd always have, he played so many shows for. I think you're doing Pop Scene, aren't you?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, which is Aaron Axelson.
Okay.
And he was my boss at Live 105 in San Francisco. And that's his thing. It's such a rad club.
Awesome.
But yeah. So
love Geographer. We actually, one of the songs on the EP we just released, Will We Make It? He wrote with us.
Really?
And so we became friendly with him. And then, you know, it came to us that it was a possibility that he could open up for us. It was like a no brainer.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. When did you move to, you said you moved to LA like a year ago?
Yeah, last May.
Why did you decide to head out to the West Coast?
Yeah, so I had been living in Brooklyn for 18 years.
Oh, man.
I was like basically the mayor of Brooklyn at that point. And I absolutely love it there. I'm like literally thought I would never leave. I wanted to just like, that was my dream to just stay there forever. Mm-hmm. And then Luke moved out here a couple years ago, and the rest of our band moved out here. And then slowly, like every musician I knew moved out here. And I started wanting to get more and more into writing songs for other people and doing the whole like sessions thing. And that's just not happening in New York, and it's all happening in LA. So it just felt like the right move.
So but your band was already, everyone had already kind of came out there beforehand. Were you guys writing, how were you writing songs? Were you doing the Dropbox
for about a
thing?
Year. So Luke and I were in Brooklyn together for like most of the duration of the band.
Yeah. And then he took off before
when he took off. We were doing everything remotely. I was booking a lot of trips to LA, but that was like getting expensive. And yeah, it got too much, and I gave in, and
now you're there.
But I don't regret it. It's pretty lovely.
That's cool.
From being from San Diego.
Yeah. No, it's great. What was like? So now, I want to talk to you about this, the EP you guys just released. Okay. When did you start working on that? And then I'm curious to hear about, you know, writing with other artists.
Yeah. We started working on this EP year and a half ago about that, and all the songs were pretty much written in LA together.
Wow. It's just with you traveling back, or had you
some
moved
of them
at that
with
point?
Me coming to travel, some of them were really fleshed out once I had moved here.
Mm-hmm.
But we just were like, for this EP we were more interested in more collaborations with other musicians and kind of expanding our sound. There's a lot of like yacht rock influence on the CP, which is like, that's Luke's favorite type of music. His favorite band is Steely Dan.
No way. That's so funny.
So, you know, we've always made this music, which did feel true to us in this like synth pop world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was fun for Luke to kind of spread his wings on the music that he loves the most.
Yeah.
And I also love it, but like, yeah, we're just trying to kind of make the stuff that like we love. And it, you know, I've said this before, like this EP to me feels like the most different, but also kind of the most GGFO stuff we've ever done. It sort of like combines all the different eras into like one thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great EP. I really like the song Will We Make It?
Thank
And the whole thing's good, but that one is really was like the one I kept like the stick out one for me from
Yeah,
the
yeah.
last
That
few.
I mean, that was when we. I don't know which one's my favorite now. Like with some time, I'm like I always go back and forth. But when we finished all five, that was also my favorite. I'm like a huge fan of like Charli XCX and like
Yeah, same here.
that kind of stuff. And so that one was like our ode to that.
Okay.
That was definitely the inspiration for that sound.
That's the one where you have like a deeper vocal on it, right? Yeah. Which I thought that was interesting because your range is so big, but it's like most of them you're in a higher
Yeah,
register for the
totally.
songs, and
Yeah,
then
and
that
that's
one
another
you.
thing we're experimenting with is like what I can do with my voice. And like for a lot of the songs, it's mostly falsetto. And you know, for better or worse, I'm like the falsetto guy. But yeah, it's fun to like experiment with like the other characters that my voice can be. And especially on that song, Will We Make It? We were very much like, you know, who is this? What character is this singing this song? And we kind of it actually when we did the first demo of it was even weirder. Like I was kind of going like full like David Byrne Talking Heads kind of weird,
Oh, wow.
and then we kind of pulled back a little bit and kind of did a happy medium. But you're definitely right in hearing that it was a little different for us.
Yeah, I love it though. It's a
Thanks.
great tune. And then yeah, like we said earlier, you're doing the tour with Geographer on the West Coast, which is gonna be awesome. And
Wingtip as well. I don't know if you know Wingtip. Yeah, so
tell me about Wingtip.
Geographer's with us in San Francisco and Portland, and then this guy Wingtip is with us in
LA.
LA. Wait, what did I say? Seattle and Portland is where Geographer is with us in San Fran and LA. Wingtip's with us,
Oh,
and
okay.
yeah, he's just sick. I don't know. He's just a great musician. Like. Cool, like pop songs, really dynamic. And so, yeah, it's kind of fun because usually when we tour, we do have like one person the whole time. So it's kind of cool to change it up.
Cool. I'll have to check him out. I'm not hip to Wingtip yet. Cool. And so you said you were working with other artists now, or you're helping write or co-write or
I'm just trying to write as much as I can. And so that's like a big thing in LA is these like writing sessions for other artists. And so I'm just trying to get as involved with that stuff as much as I can. And yeah, I've worked with some great people, met some amazing new producers and artists, and that's just like fun for me.
Is it like a it must be like a different hat? You're going because you're going in not thinking, okay, this is going to be for my project. It's like,
100%. Yeah, it actually is. It's funny you say that because I was just thinking about that recently. Like going in and writing for someone else, it's maybe even it's easier for me maybe because
really?
then we've started making the next batch of Great Kid, Fine, OK songs, and I do kind of have to take that off and put a different hat on because it's like, oh, now these are about me and it's my voice and like, what do I want to say and like, what am I feeling? Whereas like, it's really easy to write for me at least like a love song that everybody can relate to and it's for someone and whatever, but it's harder for me to be like, what am I feeling? Like, how can I, make this song a bit of a diary entry of my own,
Right, where you're just if you're writing for someone else, you're just kind of writing almost like a story. It's
Yeah,
not as personal to you,
and I'm kind of like,
obviously.
what are you going through? And they'll tell me, and then I can relate to it, and we can write a great song together. But it's a lot different when it's like, okay, I'm singing this about myself,
Right.
it
You're the
has been
face and the
interesting.
voice to the
Yeah.
lyrics at that point.
Kind of interesting been to juggle that.
That's cool though. Is it the same, like, are you writing in all genres? Is it usually like mainly pop or?
Yeah, no, all genres. I love it. I have a project with a close friend where we are producing and writing hip hop tracks
No way.
and
That's awesome.
R&B stuff and a lot of like rap features, this thing called Young Saab. Which
Cool.
has been another like really fun outlet, and no, it's awesome. I love writing in all the different genres.
That's cool. You got a lot going on, John. I appreciate
I got a
your
lot. I got a lot going on. I'm trying a lot of logs in the fire.
Yeah, and you had time to hang out with me, which I really, really appreciate.
Yeah.
And th again, thank you so much for doing this, man.
Of course, man.
I have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, it's funny because obviously I've been asked this before, and I feel like my answer kind of has evolved with what the music industry is doing.
I love it.
And if I had to give advice now, I would just say like, don't get discouraged by all the noise of, the numbers and TikTok, and am I doing good on TikTok? Am I getting the Spotify playlists? It's easy to get bogged down with that and get discouraged. And I've even seen close friends like talk about wanting to quit because all that stuff is dragging them down. It's like, no, like you're thinking about it wrong, because at the end of the day, it's got to be all about just make great art, and enjoy the journey. I guess that's what I would say. You need to like enjoy the journey. Like if you love writing songs, like enjoy writing it and don't think about what it's going to do when it comes out. More now than ever, you cannot bank on something like doing well on Spotify or like, hype machine's not a thing. Like you can't pray for a hype machine number one. Like you just gotta kind of, put your head down and make great art. And if you love it, chances are other people are gonna love it. And kind of have faith. That's
I
it.
love it.